always love and the worship experience that we have here, and this morning was no exception. And I think two of those songs were Chris Tomlin songs, and it just reminded me that Joy and I had the privilege of going to hear Chris Tomlin do a concert back in North Carolina, where we're from, and I've been looking forward to it. He's one of my favorite Christian singers, but the experience was not listening to him. The experience was the worship experience that we had. You just imagine 10,000 people, all, as I could tell, raising their hands and singing as loud as they could, "He's a good, good Father." I mean, I thought I had died and gone to heaven. I really did. It was an awesome experience. But, of course, there are always those quiet moments with him as well. But there are other moments. There are times where we have opportunities to share the gospel. Beautiful story about opportunities to share the gospel. And I'll tell you something. And now it's confession time maybe for me. I get very nervous about the thought of... See, I can stand up in front of 100 people and 200 when we don't have the retreat. And I'm not real comfortable preaching because I'm a little nervous. But just, one person. Just to share the gospel with one person, that scares me. You know, and I know how to do it. I know I've taken all the courses. I know all the techniques and the Roman road and the scriptures and the four spiritual laws and all of these things. And I know the theology of it. But, man, you're talking about somebody's life. I mean, you're talking about eternity. That's scary. And so I read about this three circles, and it's not the only way. It may not even be the best way, but it is a very good way to share the gospel. And the beautiful thing of it is you don't need to know a lot. You don't even have to quote Scripture. I think you should. Scripture, unfortunately, doesn't carry with it the same weight it once did. I can recall when I was younger, even to an unbeliever, if I said, "The Bible says," that carried some weight with them. I mean, that meant something. Nowadays, I know it's just people a lot of people, anyway, don't think much of the Bible and don't think about God at all, but you have these opportunities. Maybe you're sitting next to someone on an airplane or on a train, or you're waiting at a hairdresser's or a doctor's office and you start talking with someone, or you're sitting in a restaurant and a conversation comes up with a waiter or somebody at the table next to you. All these times you have opportunities. Maybe you're with a neighbor or a friend and you're just talking, and it's good, I think, anyway, to wait for an opening, like, "May I pray for you?" And somebody's sharing a problem, whatever it may be. You can do this on a napkin. I mean, it's what's beautiful about it. If you got a pen and anything to write on, this will work. And I want to put up a scripture there for us. Romans 6, 23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." Let that kind of be the theme of what we're talking about here. And how it'll intertwine with this whole experience. So let me begin by praying again, please. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Now, if you're having an opportunity to share this, you can start in any one of these circles. I think I like to start at God's perfect design. Because right at the beginning of the Bible, it says in Genesis chapter 1, and you'll see it up here, Genesis chapter 1. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So it's perfect. If we're made in his image, then that's pretty good. That's hard to beat. And God saw all that, and then verse 31, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. It was very good. So he made us in his image, and by the way, he made us to rule over, to help him rule, to rule as his representatives in the universe, but also to made in his image, and he could say it's very good, and everything was perfect, but sin came into the picture. That's the problem as we begin to head to the next circle, but we'll stay here. But, you know, sin's not really a popular word today. A lot of people don't think there's even such a thing as sin. And you don't even have to call it sin. You can call it rebellion, because that's what it is. You know, we think about sin as something we do, but what a person does commit sins is because of this sin nature in them that they inherited because Adam and Eve rebelled. Adam and Eve decided that they wanted to be like God on their own. They were already made like God, but they decided to want to be like God on their own. By the way, you don't have, when you're talking the gospel to somebody, you don't have to really preach a sermon like I am right now. But just kind of give you an idea. They disobeyed God, but more than that, they disobeyed him because they decided they wanted to take control of their lives. Rebellion. Acting independently of God, because you see, they were made to always partake of the tree of life. They were made to always depend on God. As long as they were depending on him, in a connection with him, because if you're in his image, you're not only like him, you're near him, you're having sweet and wonderful fellowship with him. And of course, you're having good fellowship with each other, Adam and Eve. I don't know if this translates very well, but I'm going to try it anyway. You know, Adam was first created first, and he was lonely. So God said, I'm going to create a beautiful thing for you. We're going to call her woman. I mean, she's going to be, she's going to have a perfect figure. She's going to be gorgeous. She's going to always stay young. She's never going to complain. She's never going to nag. She'll be a wonderful cook. You're just going to love her. And Adam said, well, that sounds great, God, but how much is this going to cost me? And God said, an arm and a leg. And Adam said, well, what can I get for a rib? Okay, anyway. See, again, I don't know if that translated well, but anyway, because the American expression, an arm and a leg. But in any case, there, Adam and Eve, perfect fellowship, and they're walking with God, but they decided they wanted to give that up. They didn't want to depend on God. So that brings us to brokenness, next circle, because that's what happened. You see, they separated themselves from God and from each other, because not only did they lose that sense of God's presence and they were kicked out of the garden, but they started arguing. Man tried to control the woman, and the woman tried to get back at the man, and all these problems developed, and so relationships are kind of never really totally perfect. I mean, we have good ones, we have bad ones, but it just seems at times even the best of relationships, even the best parent-child relationships or husband-wife relationships just don't work all the time. And sometimes just your friends or your you have enemies, and it's just on and on. You just feel broken. You feel a little bit like standing in going to a very large city where you do not speak the language, and you're in the middle of a city. Let's say I understand the cities in China are just unbelievably huge, and there's hundreds of them that are just big old metropolises. Just stand in the middle of there, and you don't know where you are. You don't speak the language, and what do you do? You feel very lost. What you would love is a map with a little arrow pointing to where you are and saying, you are here, and something else where you might want to go and say, this is where you want to be, and this is how you get there. But you don't have that. We're living in life. It's like walking into a movie 20 minutes after it started. And you're watching the movie, and you're thinking, who's he? Is he the brother or the husband? And what does that mean when he said that? And it may take you the whole movie to figure it out. And it's just life just seems like that sometimes. And so what we do in our brokenness, in our alienation, in our continuing rebellion, we try to do things that will heal that relationship. I'm going to get to that in a minute. I don't want to look at the scriptures just a moment, please. So this is how, of course, we're talking about rebellion. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. So that's the rebellion. That's the death. And then all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the next one, please. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So this death, that's the brokenness. I mean, we don't physically die then, although we are going to physically die, ultimately the result of that first sin. But it's like a death because we're away from that, from God and that perfect design. And then you look at the next one, as it is written, there's no one righteous. See, no one is perfect. There's some good, some better than others, but nobody is good enough for a holy God. There is none righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. That's, of course, in Romans. Whew, man, what do we do? Well, what we do is, if we go back to the original slide there on brokenness, what we end up doing is different things to make it better. But we're doing it on our own. And so we think about success. If I can just be successful in my job or make a lot of money or people will think I'm good or some form of success, I'll be okay. But you can talk to a lot of people who've made it to the top and they just feel empty. They just feel empty. A great German, Bernhard Langer, who is still a very good golfer, even though he's up in years, he came to Christ because he had just won the Masters golf tournament. And that's the top or one of the top golf tournaments in the world. And he said, here I was, one of the best in the world, and I was empty. I was empty because success doesn't do it. And he eventually came to faith in Christ. Alcohol, try to do it, drinking, covering up with excessive alcohol drinking, drugs, sex, even religion. I mean, all kinds of religions of people trying to get their way back to God or some sense of favor with God or something. But the brokenness remains because there's no religion, there's nothing we can do to get back to God. There's no one, no thing. Or just being a good person. Well, I'll just be a good person. But how do you know? I mean, how do you know you're good enough? And even being a good person is not going to make things better for you. They'll be better, but not good enough. Or just trying to please others. I mean, you could think of all kinds of things people do, but none of it works. I heard this illustration one time, and I'm going to change it back from America to Europe, to Europe to America, but line up everybody in the world along the Atlantic coast and say Spain or Portugal or France. Just line everybody up and say, swim to America. And so they all get in, they start trying to swim. Well, some don't even get going because they can't swim. Some make it 100 yards or meters and then they drown and they sink. And some might make it several kilometers, maybe even several hundred kilometers. But no one's going to swim to America. It's impossible. There's a holy God, and we can't do it. We can't get there. And yet we know that we ought to get there. The beauty is, you see, we have an opportunity to repent. And that's the great joy. If you look at Jesus coming in Mark chapter 1, verse 14, it says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. That's the gospel. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come or is near. In Jesus, the King Jesus, he brought the kingdom. And the kingdom comes in him. The good news comes in the form of this man, Jesus, and what he does. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. And we'll explain what the good news is in just a moment. I know you know, but if you're sharing it with somebody. Romans 10, verses 9 and 13 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess faith and are saved. It's a heart and mouth thing. It's when you come to Christ, when you repent, when you decide, I'm not going my way. I'm going to go God's way. I'm not going to live my life for myself. I'm going to live it for God. And it's all by faith. You don't change your ways and then come to God. You come to God and he gives you what you need to change your ways. And we go on reading there in Romans chapter 9, chapter 10. As the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. It's faith, it's belief, it's expressing verbally and believing in your heart. Verse 12, there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. He's not willing that any should perish. Next verse, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So it's open to everybody to come out of that brokenness toward the gospel, toward the gospel who is the person of Jesus. And the gospel entails not only who he is, but what he has done. So you repent, you turn to God, and we look at the third circle now, which is the gospel, the good news. It is the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because that's what took place for us. He died for our sins because we couldn't handle it. We couldn't do it. We couldn't pay the penalty. We're too messed up. And during this, we had a great retreat this weekend, and it's still going on, but of course, I'm not there. But the speaker, Jimmy Martin, was talking about the cross and said, you really, when you look at the cross and understand he died for you, he said, and all that suffering is because of your sin and my sin. And he said, when you really look at it, you begin to understand that what you are and what you have done is far worse than you ever could have imagined. That it would take the Son of God to die for you. That's how bad we all were. He says, but you also understand the depth of his love for you that you never quite grasp. And even so, we don't now, or I don't fully grasp how much he really loves you, that he would do that for you. But you come and you celebrate that. It's what we celebrate, and that Jesus is alive. And think of this gospel now as not simply an event at one time. Yes, he only died once on the cross. He rose again. But that living Christ is alive now. The good news is that this free gift of salvation that he offers is something that gives us life and energizes us to continue living that life, to get back to that first circle again, which we'll get there in a minute. The process is this. Admit that you are a sinner or you've rebelled, you've lived life yourself on your own. Just admit that and that you need God. And then you believe. You believe. And then you confess it. In other words, you say with your mouth. It's that simple, ABC. When I was 10 years old, at Christmas time, I wanted a clock radio. Now, I don't know, some of you younger folks probably don't know what a clock radio is, but it was a radio, not digital or anything, and you had to kind of turn the dial to pick up the signals, and there was a clock on it, just like the clock in the back there with hands on it. And they were very expensive in those days. And that's what I wanted for Christmas. And I knew, my parents talked about I needed to be good, be a good boy, and and Santa will be nice to you and all that sort of thing. But I knew I was going to get that clock radio. Not because of me, not because I was good, but because my parents are good and they could afford it. It's not that expensive. And so I cut down Christmas morning. I came down and here's this package. And I said, oh, man, look at that. A clock radio. Man, you're wonderful parents to give that to me. And I don't even, I haven't earned it. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Now, what's for dinner? No. I opened the thing. I took the wrapping off. I took the radio. I took it up to my room. I was, I guess, about 10 years old. I guess I mentioned that. And I would listen to that radio almost every night. It was back in the days when they actually had radio programs, like television programs. And I'd listen to it. And I could pick up at night. I could pick up stations hundreds of miles away. I lived in Washington, D.C. I could pick up Chicago, sometimes Nashville, Rochester, New York, sometimes even Canada. I was fascinated. I used it. I took it. I grabbed it. That's faith. Faith isn't saying, oh, that's nice, God. Yeah, I believe you did that. Okay, what's for dinner? No, that's not faith. Faith is grabbing a hold of the cross, the person who now is alive, who died for us, connecting with him. In admitting you can't do it, but he did. And you end up then now in a course back. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of Major Ian Thomas, but great Bible teacher, now going on to be with the Lord. He had all these little pithy sayings, I guess you'd call it, that were pretty good. And this describes the gospel, I think, beautifully. Talking about Jesus. The life that he lived qualified him for the death that he died. In other words, he was sinless, and so he was able to die for our sins because he was sinless. The life that he lived qualified him for the death that he died. Then he says the death that he died qualified us for the life that he lived. Because now we're not only forgiven, but we have his life in us. He had to become what he did. He became, he was born of a virgin. He had to become as he did to be what he was, which was perfect. In other words, he could not be born in the normal way. He had to be supernaturally born and come from God to be able to be sinless. He had to be what he was, perfect, to do what he did, redeem us. He had to do what he did, redeem us, that we might have what he is, life. We must have what he is, life, to be what he was, perfect. And by perfect, I mean, I don't know anyone who is, and I'm certainly not, but we're headed that way. And it may not happen till we get to heaven, but we're headed that way. And we ought to be growing in the Lord. He can't, he never said we could, he will, he always said he would. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. He always said he would. So we head back, living by faith, on the direction back to that first circle. If you go back and put all three of them up there now, I think, yeah, okay. God's perfect design. You ever singing these beautiful songs that we sing about, oh, I love you, and I feel your love, and oh, your peace and your joy. You ever singing those and saying, I can sing it, but I'm not sure I always live it. I'm not sure I always feel it. I want to be there more than I am now. And the only way I know to get there, where I have the joy I sing about and the peace that I sing about and the love that I sing about, the only way I know to get there is to let him take me there by making myself available for him to be my life, this risen Christ who died for me, this once crucified but now risen Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to just walk with him. I want to take that gift, that free gift. I've earned my wages is death, hell. But what God is offering me is life, not just life someday, but life now. He's carrying me. I can't get there on my own. But I know, folks, I know he will get me there. And I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm not what I used to be. And we get there. Next, let's look at these scriptures. Go to the Revelation when I'm sorry. When the angel showed me the river of water of life, this is in heaven. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing down from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Down the middle of the street of the city, this is where we'll be. On each side of the river stood trees of life. There's that tree of life again. It was back in Eden. Bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. There's healing there. No longer will there be any curse at all that came upon because of our rebellion. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. We'll have something to do. It's not going to be just a perpetual 24-hour worship service. We're going to be serving him. They will see his face, perfect fellowship, back like Adam had, perfect fellowship. They'll see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There'll be that special relationship. There will be no more night, no darkness, no brokenness. They will not need light of a lamp or the light of the sun. For the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever, back, made in his image, to rule over the universe now, set back right, absolutely perfect. That's where we're headed, folks. That's where we're headed, and we're not there. Excuse me. Next slide, please. Next scripture. Don't worry, we're almost through. And you also were included in Christ, it says in Ephesians. When you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed, excuse me, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. When you believed in him, or when a person does believe in him, a little bit of heaven comes into you. That's the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit. It's guaranteeing. We're going there. We're on the way. Nothing's going to stop it. The Holy Spirit in us, Christ in us, is the guarantee. And we're on a journey. We're getting closer in the way that we live. Guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. In other words, till it's all totally wrapped up to the praise of his glory. And this is the thing. This is what is so beautiful. It's all about him. What he did, his work that saved us, his presence now in us that gives us the ability to live a better life. And then when we get there, it's him. Hey, you don't even need sunglasses. Brighter than the sun, but you don't need sunglasses. Man, heaven. But it's for him. It's for him. Because when Adam and Eve said, we'll do it on our own, they started absorbing the glory themselves. And when we do efforts to do this, to do that, out of our own abilities and strengths, we're calling attention to ourselves. Even when we talk about our sin too much, which we need to acknowledge and talk about, it focuses on us. When we get to heaven, and even on the way now, we begin to see more and more, it's God, it's not me. To be to the praise of his glory. Adam and Eve were to be to the praise of his glory, to remind people what God is like. We will remind the rest of the universe who God is, because they'll look at us. They'll look at us, and they won't see us, they'll see him. And sometimes they see him now in us. They do. I see him in some of you. Three circles. Good way to share the gospel. And what a gospel. Let us pray. your awesome God. What a gospel. What a God. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here who you've touched their hearts and they got a little bit of a glimpse of your goodness and they want it. And maybe, God, they've tried other ways, religion or some of the other things that were mentioned, and just haven't had that sense of brokenness being healed. God, I pray you'll touch their hearts. And if you're that person, I ask you to open your heart right now. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. But just silently, you could pray something like this. And if you're not in that position right now, you can hear this prayer, because this is the kind of prayer that you might have someone pray, or you lead them in prayer in this way. Lord Jesus, I love you. I've tried to live my life myself. It hasn't worked. But Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God who came to die on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again. I believe you now are seated at the right hand of God. And I ask you, dear Jesus, to forgive me for my sin and to sin and to come into my heart through your Holy Spirit and take control and be my Lord. I surrender to you, dear Jesus. Amen.